When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to episode 58 of the Midlife Pilot Podcast. It's a show where we talk all things aviation for those who are starting their journeys in midlife, as the name fits. This podcast is about sharing our experiences and the greater community's experiences as a midlifer. So it doesn't matter if you're a student pilot, a seasoned veteran, or you just want to learn how to fly, we hope you join us. We are not here to instruct or teach. We just want to tell you how it's been for us. My name is Ben, and I am a commercial rated pilot here in the Atlanta area, flying a Cessna 182 and trying to stay proficient here lately with this weather coming in. It's going to be kind of hard to do. We have with us tonight Mr. Brian Siskin from deep in the heart of Music Row, Nashville, Tennessee, flying his beautiful Cherokee 180, also known as Lucy. Hey, Brian.
How's it going? Yeah, I'm in the snow bunker of Music City. We got more snow in one day than what is entirely our yearly average, so it's good times.
I think about two-thirds of the country can say that right now. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Also tonight, from the West Coast, the Best Coast, and also the Cold Coast, from Portland, Oregon, we have our support pilot, Ted, flying the CTLS, affectionately known as the Egg. Good evening, Ted.
Hey. Hey, how you doing?
Good.
So Brian, to upset our people in Rochester and in all of the Midwest, how much snow is record setting?
Hey, listen, man, it's nearly 7 inches of snow or something, right? Like, it's out of control. This is madness. This is utter chaos. this is actually terrible, but a friend of mine who's an old friend of mine that lives in the neighborhood, she texts me a message and shows me she was walking, slip, fall, broke her arm. You know, it's like, this is madness. We're not meant for this. I heard, so I'm right by John Toon Airport, and I heard that the reason, so I was listening to the AWOS there today, and I noticed that all these taxiways were closed still and all this. And I heard through the grapevine that one of the reasons why is because they can't salt or chemical treat or whatever it is that they do because it's too close to the Cumberland River. And so they don't want to do that. And I'm just thinking the Cumberland River is like battery acid and fecal matter. I don't know what they're holding on to, it's mass paralysis, hysteria, you know, the whole thing.
Just in the forecast, they start shutting schools down here. But part of the point is that we live here to get away from the snow. So when it comes, we don't know what to do with it. Well, let's jump in, take care of a few housekeeping items since we sort of skipped it last week. We were all in different spots and my brain was in a different place. So the first thing I want to do tonight is thank our new supporters since two episodes ago. We have Doyle H., Mark O., Dan Y., David M., who I saw is in the chat tonight, and Darren G. And if there are others in the chat that have recently become a supporter, we just want to say thank you. We're broadcasting live on YouTube every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Audio version of this podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, iTunes. You can subscribe, so when we upload a new episode, it's sitting there waiting on you. Love getting feedback. and we've gotten some recently. We'll be playing maybe a voice message we got a couple of weeks ago, I think it was. But send us an email at midlifepilotpodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget the merch store, store.midlifepilotpodcast.com. And we've got a lot of good stuff in there, t-shirts, pint glasses, hats, stickers, you name it. So with that, do we want to talk about our topic tonight first, or do we want to talk about the fly-in? We didn't discuss this ahead of time.
Let's get the fly-in conversation out of the way. There's been some developments, so let's just remind people that we have an amazing fly-in event set up for April, and we're expecting you to be here. And Ben is the sage of accommodations as well.
So we've made some progress. I sent out an email. If you've gone to the website, which will be in the show notes, and you can fill out some information. We have sent out an email to everybody that's shown an interest saying, here's what's up. We currently have reserved 3 houses that are basically connected. They almost look like townhomes. I guess they are townhomes. And we're doing this on a first come, first served basis. We have 4 bedrooms in each of these townhomes. And so we have, if my math is correct, 12 rooms. We're not going to ask anybody to bunk up with each other. We're going to offer it up to the first 12 people who pay. And as of now, we have 8 people that have already committed to come and who have 6 have paid. 2, I think, will be paying very shortly. So actually, it's 9 now. It's 9 people.
And this compound, by the way, is something else, right? Like, because it's conjoined houses. There's also a lot of people coming that are not staying at the compound, of course, right? We've got people staying in hotels, various with friends, other things. But the compound is going to be the center of activity. So it's for midlife people, I guess you would say the closest sort of facsimile to this would be, it's going to be basically like a midlife pilot real world without the drama, but maybe some of the booze. I'm not really sure, but anyway, the compound's going to be the place to be, and really close to the airport, and a lot of places to walk to right around there. So,
restaurants, coffee shops, all of it is just going to be, it's just going to be the hub. So we're not asking you to stay in the house. We're just offering up for those who want to. It is filled up pretty quickly. We still have a couple of spots. We also have an option to add a 4th house that's also right next to it that has 3 bedrooms. So if people keep signing up for it, we'll add that. The other thing, and you'll see it on the website that's located in the show notes. We're giving you a menu of options of things to do on Saturday. We've got a lot of different activities, and you can go to Tullahoma, you can go to Springfield, you can go wherever you want. I love Flying Past 50's comment, midlife pilot real world, in bed by 9 and everyone has a CPAP machine. That's awesome. So I'm really excited about how this is starting to pan out. Even if you don't want to stay in the compound, let us know if you're coming. At least we'd like to try to get a head count, to plan out maybe a dinner one night, or bring a dinner into the compound and have everybody come. We'll see how that plays out, but, let us know. We need, some firm commitments at this point.
Yeah. And just to reiterate, we decided to veer away from having a schedule because we're expecting so many more people than we originally thought would be coming. And we just thought it might be better to have it be where we have, here are suggested places that you can go, and we can kind of pair up in whatever way makes sense. And sometimes that's just easier for coordination on the spot, as opposed to trying to hyper plan all those things out ahead of time. There's a lot of options near and all of that. So we can definitely do some flying while everybody's here and mix it up in different people's planes. And we've said this a lot of times, but we should say it again, that if you're not flying here and you're just flying here as a commercial, you're probably going to have a better time than the people that are flying in here, because you get to just enjoy riding around in other people's planes and having all that kind of experience and none of the potential headaches or whatever that might go along with flying.
So this will be our fourth meetup. Is my math right?
Yeah.
So I still am waiting to experience that. I'm waiting for somebody to come pick me up and let me do that. But that's okay. I enjoy taking people up. I'm happy to do it. There's also the kind of the control thing. I'd rather be in control than not, but sometimes I'll let that go. But there's no plan. We've got four or five destinations that people can choose to go to on Saturday. You can go wherever you want to, but we've got four or five recommendations of places to go. If we get 15 airplanes, that's just going to be tough to coordinate everybody flying in and parking and dealing with all that. So that's why we made that decision.
Oh, yeah. And that actually brings up another point real quick, which is to say that everybody coming into John Toon, they've got plenty of room for transient parking. Come one, come all. And we'll be working some stuff out with them too, to try to at least get us all put in the same area. But John Toon is a very full service situation. So anything you're going to need, you'll have and all that. So anyway, so that's enough for about the fly. And we'll be coming back to this a lot, I'm sure. But the website for the fly-in is in the show notes, and keep an eye on it.
And Brian Drennan just posted in the chat, how do I sign up for a room and how do I make a deposit? Fill out the form on the website that Brian just gave, and you can look on the show notes from the previous episode as well. I believe it's in there. And there, we'll send out an email and let you know how payments can be made and we'll give you all the details for all that. So,
yeah, we used to have Ted, didn't we used to have a little card that we could show on the thing? But anyway, the Midlife Pilot Podcast. mystrikingly.com, whatever it is. The URL is goofy, and so we'll just put it in the show notes. And obviously, if you have any questions or you just need to get directed around about the whole thing, just email us at midlifepilotpodcast@gmail.com, and Ben will drop whatever he's doing in the middle of some big insurance deal or whatever, and he's usually to it first. Feel free to interrupt Ben's rhythm on a rhythmic...
I would like it. Been doing insurance for a long time and I'm ready. I love the distraction, so please keep it coming.
Okay.
One last thing I wanted to mention that I just thought of. There are some people who are co-located in nearby towns, and I am happy to help coordinate if somebody has an empty seat that's willing to give another midlifer a ride. We can certainly help coordinate that. So I know... Alpha Juliet in the chat has an empty seat. He may have one passenger with him, but he might be able to bring another one. He's already offered it up. I'm not offering it for him. You're ready to move on to our next topic. We could drag on with this forever. So tonight we decided let's talk about filming safely
while doing what?
While flying.
Oh, right.
Well, I mean, you film safely no matter what you're
right.
doing. But specifically,
filming yes. on the precipice of a building, wear a safety wire. No, I guess this came up in the Discord, like a lot of our topics do. How do we deal with the distraction of filming? And you two film a lot more than I do. So I'd really like to hear your thoughts, Brian, maybe your film history, you're a videographer, you're the pro. So would love to get your feedback on this.
Well, okay. The first thing I want to just sort of the reason why we were talking about this, I think, is important. There's been a lot of good, reasoned conversation around the notion of filming your flying. And this has come up as of late for various reasons, incidents and other things that have gone on. I think it's a perennial question that's just going to keep growing. I think it's important to sort of do some separation of kind of church and state here with like the lanes that we're talking in, because on one hand, there is filming your flights. On another hand, there is making content, I suppose, if we were going to sort of draw a fork in the road. And so I think that what we're speaking to, although we can talk around all of it, is more about filming your flying for reasons of function, to learn, to grow as a pilot, to review, to get the most out of your instruction, whatever it might be. I think there's a lot of really strong functional case studies or ways of looking at it. But I think it's also important to remember that this is not universal, and we are not saying what you should or should not do either. So there's a lot of nuance to this topic that I don't want it to get lost. But for me, like you said, I do a lot of video work for a living. And so for me, my first lesson I recorded, and I recorded every lesson and on through. I had a couple of reasons though for that early on, even as a person that's not really fazed by cameras or whatever. I already knew before I even started flying, before I'd even taken my first lesson, that I knew that I wanted to film my lessons because I don't have a lot of money to be kind of wasting on repeat lessons, and not a lot of us want to do that. And I knew that I wanted to capture as much as I could so that I could review it in my study time and improve and take notes and things that way. And I had enough sense to know that, especially in the early stages, you're drinking from a fire hose. A lot of stuff's going to be getting by you. However, I can kind of cast a net to kind of capture those things. And I did it in a fairly crude way to start. But I think that the main thing was, is that I already knew in my head that I really wanted to have a video of my first solo whenever I reached that landmark. And I just decided that I did not want the first time I pull out a camera to film anything to do in my flying to be on that day, you know, for my first solo. And I just wanted to embed it in my process as much as possible early on. And so I did that. Now, a lot of people would say, and there's a lot of schools that'll say, we don't want you to film, or instructors don't want to be seen on camera. This is not something that's a choice that everybody can make. I think even just 2.5 years ago or whatever it was when I started training, or I guess April 21, so coming up on 3 years, I think that the world was even a little bit different then than it is now in that limited amount of time. And it was a little bit less common. But anyway, they didn't give me any problems about it. And I learned so much, and I accelerated my training so much and got a lot more richness out of my training because I filmed every lesson. There were so many things that I just could not make sense of in the moment that afterwards, if I just reviewed it from the calm after, it made total sense. And it solved these little mysteries along the way. Also, there was just the emotional quotient of it, in the sense that when you're training, everybody can relate to this, whether you're in the middle of it now or down the road or working on new ratings, you beat yourself up. We're all prideful people. We've talked about this a lot of times. Midlife pilots are prideful, and we are not used to being terrible at things at this stage in our lives. And so what I learned early on is how hard it is as a student to really even understand what's good and what's not good, or what's to be a reasonable outcome for this type. You know, you're learning how to land. It's like, yeah, that wasn't a great landing, but for where you are, that was a really good landing, you know, that sort of nuance. But there were a lot of, you know, when I was having a lot of trouble learning how to land, me having a camera underneath the tail of the plane and being able to see that and then correlate that with the audio with my instructor telling me right rudder and seeing what longitudinal alignment really does down and dirty with those kind of details, it meant everything to me. It also was, you know, he would tell me like, you know, you're just really hard on yourself. You got to just, you know, be gentle on yourself. You're doing fine. I would think that something was just absolutely terrible. But then I review it. I'm like, actually, that was fine. He was right. Like, he's not trying to coddle me here. You know, so it really solved a lot of different problems. By the way, that worked opposite too. There were plenty of times where I thought I did something perfectly well and boy, did it need some work. And I was able to tell. And anybody that knows me now or watches any videos that I make now can tell that I am a centerline freak. I'm obsessed with the center line, and I got that obsession immediately right away because I could see it, you know, so clearly. So anyway, everybody's experience is their own, but I would say for me in training, it was massive. I don't film every flight now at all, for sure. Not like I did then, but I will do it from time to time. And I'm always glad that I did, even on the boring flights. So we're going to be breaking this conversation down a lot. This is going to go on for a while here, but I just wanted to kind of get that out because we want to talk about sort of the pros of filming your flights, but then we'll get into the cons of filming your flight. And then we'll get into some of the other particulars. And there's a lot, like I said, there's a lot of nuance that I want to get into around the current culture of filming and content capturing and what people are doing and YouTube and, you know, all of that stuff. But I think that as much as I want to clarify some of those nuances, I really think it's important to just get it down to the essentials. Cause I think there's a lot of people that just say carte blanche, filming in your plane is bad. And so,
right.
While in many cases that can be true, I wanted to talk about first the reasons why and how much I've benefited from it. And even recently, you'll see videos that I've published where I had a really weird ATC interaction or something. And then my, you know, our previous guest on the show, Scott Weckler, who's a controller at B&A, he'll see the video and go, oh, that's really interesting that that happened. Here's how you avoid that. Or you couldn't have done anything different. Don't worry about it. You know, so I mean, it's interesting to capture even later on, just as a means of kind of, I'm not saying like, you know, building a case, but, you know, sort of documenting one right. way or the other, because there's a lot of weird, ambiguous things that happen when you're flying. And so it's nice to be able to go back and review those scenarios and make sense of, you know what? I never even heard that. That's why the cascading effect happened here where I, you know, so I think there's still value to it, but all that to be said, before we get into sort of the hows and the best practices and all those things, I want to kick it around to you, Ted, and what do you have about the pros of filming? Because you're another one that did a lot of that in training and do it now.
Yeah. I'll explain kind of how I got started with it in a sec, but Flying Past 50 said, he started recording because he realized early in his training, he didn't register what his CFI was saying because he was hyper-focused on quote-unquote doing all the things. That, I think, is one of the key reasons to record early in your training is that you're so saturated with everything that's going on. Listening to your CFI, listening to radio, seeing the sight picture, all that. There's no way you can do all of those things. And so it's a way to extend or clone that time and be able to review it. So that's kind of what got me started on it too was so I could review, and I didn't really care about the quality. I wasn't after having the most beautiful picture, right? The first goal is you just have a camera that points forward. That's it. The camera is kind of second to the audio in my mind. Which I didn't realize until I started filming, but that's what did it for me. And I knew when I was going into training that I wanted to record, even though I didn't have a camera to use for it yet. And by a few lessons in, I was starting to experiment with getting it set up in the plane and learning how to do it. But I actually chose a CFI because he did photography and video work. And so I knew, oh, this is somebody that records his own flights. Like, this is a good sign that it's the type of person that I'm looking for. And you're right. That's only been 18 months, 2 years ago, but it has changed for good and bad. But it's more common for people to walk in with GoPros. I certainly see it when I see students. There tend to be more. I also noticed, because I spent some time going around the country flying different planes, and you can see how many planes have a GoPro mount in them. Like Cessna 172s have it in a very specific spot on the ceiling. But so many of these rental planes already have the brackets for it. It's like, okay, that's a sign that whether the school allows it or not, people are recording. And that kind of amused me.
Yeah. So if you've been to my YouTube channel, you'll see three videos up there created over the last 6 years. So a prolific video where I am not. But I knew we were going to talk about the subject, and Alpha Juliet in the chat, he and I went up yesterday. I was needing to get some instrument approaches in. It was getting to be close to almost needing an IPC. So I knew that I wanted to film, and this is really, for me, it's kind of why I stopped filming. It's hard for me to separate from being a videographer and being a pilot. And trust me, once we got into the airplane, I forgot that they were on, and that will be evidence. I haven't got the videos yet. He's going to be sending them to me, but it's evidenced by how much cussing I was doing. It was obviously that I had forgotten they were there, but it was leading up to it. It was setting up the camera, and we have audio cables. I've got all these cables going over my laps and cameras in places that I'm not used to being in. And it just kind of put me out of my comfort zone in the same plane I've been flying for 990 hours. So I imagine if I kept doing it, I would get used to it, and I would probably simplify the process. But it does pull you out of your normal comfort zone. And it's easy to say, just forget about the cameras. You will, but it's still, I'm just a little bit off center from what I'm normally doing. I agree with everything that you're saying. For a long time, I was putting the GoPro on the tail tie down, and it's an excellent way for me to evaluate my landings, just my approaches, especially short field landings, you know, very specific. You know, I want to hit a certain spot. There's nothing better than that. You can't use Cloud Ahoy. You can't use any other tools. That's it. And so there's absolutely a lot of value in it, but it's just not a thing for me. I will still record from time to time, but I've got to get that pattern. Just like you were saying, Brian, you started doing this on a regular basis through your training, and you built that into your habit. So it became comfortable to you. But for me yesterday, I mean, I had a great time. AJ and I had a great time flying. I just was way out of my normal zone.
Gotcha. Well, I think that's the gamut of it, right? Just like anything, you know, I would imagine if I was trying to solve if that was something you were really trying to do and you were not comfortable with it, I mean, obviously the first best thing to do is just not do it. But second would be just have, like Ted's talking about, just have a simple overhead camera that you set and forget. You're not looking at it. You don't have any wires around you. You're not, I don't know. So there are simple things, you know, but yes. So again, I had it built into even checklists to where I had it kind of partitioned off as a process to where I was checking this, checking that, and then I could, once I sort of had checked the last thing, I knew now I'm getting into these other things. Like I'm not going back to anything to do with the cameras again for this whole flight. And I've had, you know, on occasion, you know, I've had a camera fall down or something, and it's just like, chuck it, you know, like who cares? I don't check them in the middle of a flight to keep sort of seeing if it's on or whatever. the most I'll ever do, and I think this is pretty common, is if I'm on a longer flight and I want to save the batteries inside for when I'm arriving at the place, I'll just hit the button when I'm, you know, in a good spot to do it, to just stop the recording or whatever and then start it later. But, you know, here's the thing. In the big picture, we've been alive long enough to see a lot of new things come about that everybody was up in arms about until they settled into the reality of it. You know, being here in Music City, so there's this, so the local rag here or whatever is called the Nashville Scene. It's kind of like the Village Voice of Nashville, right? Like it's kind of the culture magazine of and newspaper of the city, Nashville Scene. And they have a thing every year called You Are So Nashville If, and then you sort of fill in the blank and then they pick winners and then publish them and, you know, all this. And when I moved here in 1998, I saw hysteria going on in the music industry here because of MP3 files. And everybody was losing their mind. All the publishing companies, all the record, you know, just everybody, just because of a file format all of a sudden being small enough to where you could feasibly download a record in less than, you know, an hour or whatever it was. And I remember I submitted to the Nashville Scene, You Are So Nashville If, and I put in there, You Are So Nashville If you think MP3s are bad for the music industry, but don't know how to download them, you know? And that's really what it was, is just that people just people were just not understanding something and just condemning it. And I think that, which by the way, just as a joke, about 15 years later, I submitted the exact same one again and they published it again. So that goes to show how slow moving that can be. But anyway, the point is, with every type of technology, we come across this, right? And so now I am irritated when I'm at, you know, when I'm driving and I see people texting and on their phones, it makes me insane. Pay attention to what you're doing. I feel like that, you know, like don't include me in your Darwinian experiment. I didn't sign up for this. So I understand that this is a new thing. But I think that with all of those new things, it takes a little bit of understanding. There's a right time and a right place. There's a right use and a bad use. There's the challenges of just the newness of it. So with respect to flying, filming and flying, I do see how there are certain people that, not just you, Ben, but just in general, that where it's just not a good idea. If your hands are full, you know, there are certain people that are, we're all at different levels and different comfort levels and flying in different environments. So there's nothing universal here, but ultimately we can't say that for everybody. It's, you know, if your airport is right under a Bravo and super busy and I don't know, and there's a lot going on and maybe it's really hot there and then your cameras are always overheating. So it's forcing you to want to deal with, I don't know. There could be any number of variables where it's like, you're not a good candidate to be doing that as much as there might be these benefits. So I think that there's definite cons that people should be aware of and make those decisions for themselves. But I don't think it's, I think that some of that's being short-sold, you know, for the notion of safety. I think that there can be increased safety. And then also I think that, now this is a little bit of a strange thing, but when you're filming and your cameras are on in your plane, it's kind of like a way of mimicking what it's like to have an instructor with you or somebody that you want to, it, I'm not saying like when the cameras are off, I don't do checklists or none of this stuff, you know, but it's like, I'm just saying it, there is something about there is a silent kind of accountability ghost that kind of is summoned inside the plane. And so there's that too, as much as, and that can go either way. So, you know, I think that in general, it's a good thing. But yeah, if we're talking about cons, and we'll get into this and a little bit more, but and Ted, I'm gonna hand this over to you. But I think there's a huge difference between people that are doing it to make content versus people that are doing it to get better, or just to maybe just capture and just basic memories. Like this is the first time I flew with my mom or whatever it is. So you know, all that being said, people have to be smart, like everything else in aviation. You got to make decisions about weather. You got to make decisions about the airplane. Make decisions about this and whether it's the right thing for you. But on the cons note, Ted, what do you think?
I think it's a good, that's kind of a good thing to think about is that there are people who see, oh, you're recording, and they instantly go to the bad cases of that. People performing for the camera, people jumping out of, whatever it is. And it isn't necessarily that. And you're not going to be able to convince people that, hey, I've got a GoPro in the plane. Oh, well, you must be flying for the GoPro, right? Like it, you're not going to convince those people. So it's how do you feel about it? I noticed that a lot of our people in Discord that have this on their checklist usually have a note about forget about the recording. Once you start it, forget about it. The last time you think about it is before you take off. And at whatever point, you know, right after startup that you start the GoPros and then you never think about it again. And I think that's a fairly common thing. I think that though, no matter what, they're there. And especially if you have a camera fall and you hear it or it lands in your lap, it's hard to not be distracted by that. It's hard to know, oh, the battery in this lasts somewhere over 60 minutes. I should change out the battery now. But you're in the pattern. Why would you even think about that right now? You're too busy with everything else. So I think that as much as we do try to ignore it, you got to admit that it's still there. There's no way to completely ignore that it's there. And Peter T in the comments said that. He said, is it possible to completely ignore the comments?
I know, cameras.
That's the goal, but can you ever fully ignore them?
He said, he said the cameras ignore that. You said ignore the comments, which is maybe...
Oh,
Freudian slip there. Jeez.
Yeah. Is it possible to completely ignore the camera? No, wait. Ignore the camera, I mean. Yeah. And that's true. I think that it's, you know, your own personality, and you know if you can ignore it, and you know what the trade-off is of a recording versus not. I did some pattern work at an airport that had kind of some weird winds, and I got back and I wanted to review my final landing, and I looked and the camera wasn't recording. The battery had died. I didn't even know it during the flight because I didn't think about the amount of time that I'd been doing that. But it wasn't the most important thing of my flight. And I think that you can kind of extend what Brian likes to say about the flying is optional. You don't ever have to fly. That's especially true with the video. You don't ever have to record it. That's on top of that. And people that like, okay, I'm going to buy a GoPro and record my solo. It's, oh man, this is like the worst possible time because you need to have some time where you're just setting it up and trying it, getting the settings wrong, forgetting to record, forgetting to start it, getting the audio wrong. And then if it comes down to the day that you're flying with family or you're doing your solo and you get it wrong, that's life. But don't set yourself up for the failure of installing a whole bunch of equipment right before the one important flight.
So I agree with that. And one of the questions that I was going to ask, I kept making mistakes. Let me take a step back. I was aspirational and I wanted to record every flight. And I had a string of about four or five flights where something went wrong. And it was kind of to where I was like throwing my hands up in the air, I'm done with this. But after yesterday, and especially after talking again with you guys, I think it's going to be a good idea for me to just throw one up on the window to where I can grab the dash and the front of the airplane. I can hook a power cord up to it and just know that it's there, but forget about it. I won't have cables everywhere. I'll record audio on a separate recorder, whatever the case may be. My point being is, I think, to your point, Brian, I think there can be a learning curve in recording your flights, just like there's a learning curve in learning how to fly an airplane. Start off simple. Ted, you're right. You're going to make mistakes. Just create a checklist of what you need to do. I think John Mulvey in the chat, glad you're with us, John, says, I do ignore them. I start the cams before, then I grab the cams at the end of the flight. Watching my IFR approaches has really helped me with my debriefs. And I've gotten very lazy with my debriefs. I don't know that I need to debrief every flight, but at least for me, even if I don't publish these videos, I feel like it would be better for me to just take a look at it and make sure I'm not getting sloppy.
Well, so what would you say would be, if we were just to sort of rapid fire here, here's all the ways you can do it wrong and do it unsafely or whatever. You know, I can start us off. We can rapid fire like what you should not do. What you should not do is, obviously we've talked about this, like don't prioritize it at all, really. And also set things up in the same way that you would if you're setting up a sentry in the window or whatever it is that you're doing. You set it up in such a way that you're making sure that cables and things are not in your way or limiting movement or in the way of instruments or controls or, you know, all of that. If you don't do that, then you're going to cause potentially a problem. You know, don't leave a sack full of GoPro batteries in your baggage compartment while you're in the middle of the desert at 105 degrees, you know, or whatever. I don't know. Just like use common sense, whether you're filming, whether you're storing the stuff, how you're setting it up. But you know, I think that the number one way that people can get themselves in trouble filming for a particular type of personality would be those that play up to the camera or do things that are out of the scope of their normal behavior or safety envelope because they're playing up to the notion of filming, whether it's for your own jollies or whether it's for making the content. You know, I think it's important that you not change what you do normally. What do you got, Ted?
Since I've been flying in one plane and it's in a hangar, which is, I know it's kind of a double fortunate thing, but I was able to get my camera set up and get my cable set up and just leave them there. In fact, I don't even pull the cameras out anymore. I only pull the memory cards out. The cables don't have to be moved or anything else. And that's a luxury that I didn't have when I was renting and training. But that is, that's something, the number one thing is figure out your basic setup and just do it. Just be consistent. Okay. I put in one camera here. I put this one cable in here. I connect it and I'm done. If you find that you're troubleshooting it in flight, you're trying to verify that things work, that's a bad sign.
I would say for me, and I've received this advice from many people, including you two, just do one camera. Don't go for the B-roll, C-roll. Just do one camera. Flying Stampede says in the chat, the Insta360 is awesome because you can catch some really great angles, which actually may be considering buying one of those. But yeah, just one camera and keep it simple, stupid. That, and you don't have to record every flight. If it's starting to become a distraction, then take that distraction away.
Man, I can't believe, as much as I loved my tailwheel training, I didn't really capture hardly anything. I was just so consumed in what was going on that I just didn't really bother. I'm actually kind of bummed because I really would have gotten a lot out of that. But I was so focused on what I was doing that I just didn't. So, you know, you can't win them all. You can't capture everything. And sometimes, you know, sometimes it's better to not see what you just did. Because in your mind, if it's still like, you know, that you're really on your game, then just live in that mythology. Don't let any reality get in the way of your false opinions of yourself. No, but anyway, well, that's a lot, but I'm glad we talked about it. We do have a previous episode early on in our long running podcast here where it might even be the first one, if I'm not mistaken, but when the original midlife pilot and I were talking about why we film our flights. And we talked a lot about these things, but we didn't get into some of the particulars that we got into here tonight. So I appreciate you guys going down that road. And then we definitely want to just, you know, look, everybody's got their own way of filming, their own gear that they prefer, all of that. We are not recommending that anybody start, you know, don't endeavor to do something just because we said to do it, please. But for those that have a basic hankering maybe to kind of take this on, obviously there's a rich chat going on all the time in our Discord, but if you want the TLDR, isn't that what the kids say? TLDR?
Yes.
What does that even stand for? I don't know. Like,
too long didn't read.
Ted has the TLDR for the gear.
So I came up with a really quick list. This is not our recommended list or anything else. It's just the minimum you need to record your flight as.
And we're not being sponsored by any of these people. I can promise you that.
Not being sponsored. Yeah. So there's a few things. Number one, GoPro. Recommend the Hero 11. We can talk about the reasons why. Doesn't really matter. GoPro Hero 11, just buy it. Next is the in-flight cam audio adapter. In-flight makes the simplest cable to use, and they have the adapter that goes straight into the Hero. So that's your second thing to buy. And your third thing is some sort of mount. We're talking about interior mounts. That is a completely different conversation as mounting to the outside of the plane and the risks in that. Not talking about that. For mounting it inside the plane, you've got an adhesive, you've got a couple of suction cup options, and that's it. That's what you need to record. Have plenty of arguments. There's plenty of other choices, but the main things there are you've got to have some way to get audio, and you've got to have some way to mount a GoPro, period. So Ben, you want to take us to our feedback?
Yeah. We've been getting a fair amount. The inbox is going pretty steady. You can actually leave us a message on our website. There'll be a link in the show notes. But we did get a voicemail from Scott M. And Ted, do you have that queued up?
Yeah, let's
check it out.
Hey guys, Scott Maitland here. Just recently got my private pilot after about a 2.5 year process that included actually buying my own light sport cruiser plane to do my training. You guys have been with me every step of the way, giving me inspiration. Thanks a lot.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's so awesome. When I first started listening to the OG Chris and Brian, I didn't have this podcast when I was going through my training, but it was okay because it was bringing me back to my training days and I was experiencing the same thing that they were. It was reminding me of all my experiences. And when I hear somebody new come on, we've got a very vibrant Discord server. We can send you an invite. Send us an email at midlifepilotpodcast@gmail.com. I genuinely get excited when somebody's got their check ride scheduled for whatever rating it is. There's something fun about reliving that with other guys and ladies, anybody. It's just so much fun to do. And I get so much out of it. So Scott M., thank you for that feedback. We really appreciate it. Anything else to wrap up the show tonight?
I'm so happy to see the people that have check rides and have written tests coming up. I put them on my personal calendar because it's so exciting.
It is, and I love getting the debrief.
This time of year,
the debriefs are fun. We'll do a voice call on the server, and just hear their reaction, man. I don't know. It's just a lot of fun to be a part of.
Also, people have different little moments or experiences that we sort of whip together a video chat for in the Discord that like when Steve got ramp checked, or I don't know, just various things will happen where it's like, okay, well, we got to hear all about this. Forget all this typing, get in here. And then let's talk this out. We want to hear this firsthand. So, it really is a great thing. And, I can't thank everybody enough for helping to grow the thing. It's been pretty incredible to see how that's been happening. So, yeah. And by the way, Ben, I really like your hat. Thank you for wearing that tonight. He's got the Nobody Cares hat on.
I got to say, I get so many comments, and they're not the comments that you would think that you would get. They're like, that hat is awesome. I thought people were going to, you know, why are you so callous?
Yeah.
No, they're like, that hat is cool. I mean, it's the street cred I'm getting with the young kids. I wear it everywhere.
Yes, it does sound like the cozy, warm blanket of apathy that we can all wear just to feel better. But it's beyond that. It is my creative manifesto, which
it is.
So anyway, those hats, you can buy them on my website. I'm sure it'll be in the show notes or something. But look, I'm not into peddling hats anymore, guys. I have these notebooks now, and I appreciate you guys being the first two orders. I figure like anything I make and sell, I can count on at least you guys.
Sell two of them.
Jumping right on it. No, but...
Banjo Pilot puts in the chat, you should include upcoming check ride section of the show. We will absolutely put that down, number one. Number two, send us emails at midlifepilotpodcast@gmail.com. If you have a idea of a show topic, we want to provide value to you guys. So let us know. We've gotten some great suggestions on the Discord server as well. Again, just send an email to the address you see on the screen there, and I will send you an invite. It's a really great community. It's a lot of fun to hang out there. So anything else for the good of the order, gentlemen?
I think we're good.
I think we are too.
Yeah.
Thanks everybody in the chat for joining us tonight. Signing off episode 58 of the Midlife Pilot Podcast. Good night, everybody.